Where is Christmas? At what point do we experience fully Christmas? Is it Christmas morning when our children or grandchildren are just peeking down the stairs to see what's under the Christmas tree? Or maybe it's Christmas Eve, when we raise our candles and sing Silent Night. Or maybe it's during the Christmas pageant, December 23rd, just a reminder, December 23rd. But maybe it's during the Christmas pageant when that one child who isn't Mary goes over and grabs the baby out of the manger and takes off with the child. Maybe it's that's the moment when Christmas arrives. Or perhaps it is when your family gather together for special traditions or gathering with friends at special times. When does Christmas come for you? And the truth is, Christmas can be found in all of these and more. And so throughout this Advent season, we're going to be looking at the themes of Christmas. What is Christmas? What is the message of Christmas? And how do we experience that beyond just this place? How do we experience that out in our world? So we're going to be talking about some of the themes. Last week we looked at the theme of faith and doubt. We're going to be looking at themes of light and darkness and peace in the midst of a chaos and struggles of our world, and generosity given to those that are in most need during this season. All of these are themes of Christmas. This week we are going to be visiting... we're going to be looking at movies, but this week we're looking at How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Nick, if you didn't get to see Nick Nichols, he wore his Grinch tie today. So extra points for Nick Nichols. But today we're going to be looking at The Grinch. Now, The Grinch has been described this way. He is as cuddly as a cactus and as charming as an eel. He's a bad banana with a greasy black peel. It's really easy for us to demonize the Grinch, but we've got to be honest, brothers and sisters. There's a little Grinch in each one of us. Each one of us. And today in Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, we are reminded that it is easy to become like the Grinch. It is easy to become like the Grinch, to let our anger and our resentment lead us down paths of destruction. And so I'm going to be reading today from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, from Ephesians 4, verses 26 and 27 and 29 through 32. Hear now God's word. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not make room for the devil. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to all those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of your redemption. Put away from you all the bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. God's word for us this morning. How the Grinch, I love the props. I didn't even have this prop. Somebody brought it to me today. But How the Grinch Stole Christmas was originally a book. It was written by Ted Geisel, or otherwise known as Dr. Seuss, yes. And Random House published it in 1957. And according to the National Education Association, it is considered one of the top 100 books by teachers. Now, just as in last week's movie, we looked at The Miracle on 34th Street, How the Grinch Stole Christmas laments the commercialization of Christmas. And a cartoon came out, a cartoon version of the book came out as an animated special in 1966 with Boris Karloff as the voice of the Grinch. And it begins with the Whos that are down in Whoville preparing for Christmas, and they're decorating their tree, and they're doing what Whos do best, which is singing, yes. Who, I'm pointing to the choir. They're all looking at me like, I have no idea what Whos do best. And they're singing, and it is a scene of joy and of celebration, a time of community and friendship. But the Whos are completely oblivious to the fact that not everyone is celebrating with them. High up on a mountain above Whoville lives the Grinch, and he hates Christmas.
Every Who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot, but the Grinch, who lived just north of Whoville, did not. The Grinch hated Christmas, the whole Christmas season. Please don't ask why, no one quite knows the reason. It could be, perhaps, that his shoes were too tight. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. But I think that the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. But whatever the reason, his heart or his shoes, he stood there on Christmas Eve, hating the Whos. Staring down from his cave with a sour, grinchy frown at the warm, lighted windows below in their town. For he knew every Who down in Whoville beneath was busy now, hanging a holly Who wreath. And they're hanging their stockings. He snarled with a sneer. Tomorrow is Christmas. It's practically here. Then he growled with his Grinch fingers nervously drumming. I must find some way to keep Christmas from coming.
Can you imagine being so grumpy, nasty, mean, bitter, and angry that you literally want to take away Christmas, take away the joy from everyone else? You're so bitter that no one else can have joy in their life. I'm not sure that I've ever met someone that angry, but maybe you have. But every once in a while, I come across someone that might be considered a Grinch. Along with Scrooge, the idea of a Grinch has become embedded into our culture, so that the word has come to mean or describe bitter people, those that are unable to let go of resentment and anger, people who are unforgiving and ungracious, people who carry a grudge, and that affects how they treat others and how they view the world as treating them. Now, it's easy to watch a movie like this and think, I'm so glad that I'm not a Grinch. I'm just so glad that I am not like them. That reminds me of a scripture. But the truth is that each one of us has the propensity to be Grinch-like. We all have an inner Grinch. There are times when we find it really hard to offer forgiveness, times when we would rather lock ourselves up than celebrate with tinsel and lights. We all have the capacity to be unfriendly and uncharitable and unforgiving and ungracious and unmerciful. Each one of us have that ability. Now, we may think that we are not capable of stealing Christmas, but our behavior and the way that we act, the way that we communicate with others, the things that we say or we do, have the power to rob others from the joy, from the promise, from the happiness that they might have experienced otherwise. And whether we do this intentionally or unintentionally, we can all too soon get in a pattern of this behavior. Nobody wants to be a Grinch. We don't start off with the purpose of becoming a Grinch. So what does it mean to be a Grinch? And how did the Grinch become the Grinch? Now, here's the problem with the book. The book doesn't give us a backstory. We don't hear about how the Grinch became the Grinch. But in the year 2000, the movie version came out with Jim Carrey that decided to develop this Grinch history that is filled with rejection and loss based on the way that he looks. He was green. It's something like the movie Wicked, what the movie, the Broadway show Wicked did for the Wizard of Oz. How did she get to that place of being so wicked? And whether or not this is the story Dr. Seuss might have written, it's easy to assume that there must have been some sort of pain in his life that led him to be so bitter and angry. And instead of letting go of his pain and resentment, he chooses to hold on to it tightly. He lets it build up walls in his relationships, which ultimately leave him alone on top of a mountain, hating the people below. And perhaps his hatred was a learned response from his childhood. Maybe he was raised in a home that hated Christmas, or worse, hated a whole group of people based on their love of Christmas. Last Wednesday was the fifth anniversary of the passing of Nelson Mandela. And if anyone in our world had the right to hate, it was Nelson Mandela. He was abused and he was sent to prison for 27 years under an unjust system of apartheid. And in his book, A Long Walk to Freedom, he emphasizes not the need to hate, but the need to move from hatred to love. He said, no one is born hating another person because of the color of his skin or his background or his religion. People must learn to hate. And if they can learn to hate, they can be taught to love, because love comes more naturally to the human heart than its opposite. You see, the pain of racism continues to impact our lives. Continues to impact our world. We cannot deny that race relations in our country and racial injustice is still a very real challenge that we need to face head on. But brothers and sisters, too often what we want to do is we want to separate and go up on our mountaintops. We want to go away from the people that think differently than us. But if we're going to move forward, we're going to have to take a different path. We're going to have to come down from our mountaintops. We're going to need to open our hearts and hear the pain of our sisters and brothers. And this is the only way that true healing is going to happen. It isn't going to happen when we separate ourselves out. The Grinch in our story, he chooses instead to hold on to his pain and cultivate his bitterness. And that leads him to this dastardly plan to steal Christmas from the Whos down in Whoville. His plan is to show up on Christmas night and to take everything from their homes that he believes is Christmas. And if he can steal their Christmas, then he can take away their joy. This is what he believes. So this is what it looks like when he shows up in town late Christmas Eve to steal their Christmas.
All their windows were dark. No one knew he was there. All the Whos were all dreaming sweet dreams without care. When he came to the first little house on the square.
This is stop number one.
The old Grinchy Claus hissed as he climbed the roof, empty bags in his fist. Then he Jimmy slid down the chimney, a rather tight pinch, but if Santa could do it, then so could the Grinch. He got stuck only once, for a minute or two. Then he stuck his head out of the fireplace flue, where the little Who stockings hung all in a row.
These stockings,
he grinched,
are the first things to go.
Then he slithered and slunk with a smile most unpleasant around the whole room, and he took every present. Popguns, pampoonas, pantoufles and drums, checkerboards, bisseldinks, popcorn and plums. Then he stuffed them in bags. Then the Grinch very nimbly stuffed all the bags one by one up the chimney.
He steals everything. He even takes the little candy cane from my namesake, Cindy Lou Who. There is nothing left. Dr. Seuss, he brilliantly sets up this dichotomy between the negative attitude of the Grinch and the optimism and the joy and the purity of heart that we see in the Whos. Cindy Lou Who even trusts the grinchy Santa Claus when he lies and tells her he has to fix the tree. I am not so sure that I have the same optimism, joy, and purity of heart as the Whos, but the truth is each one of us has inside of us an inner Grinch and an inner Who. The challenge is in feeding our inner Who, showing mercy and kindness, offering forgiveness, being patient with others, giving to those that are most in need. These are the ways that we feed our inner Who. Paul, this is what Paul explains to the church in Ephesus. He says, put away all your bitterness, your wrath and your anger and your wrangling and your slander and your malice. Put it all away and be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgive one another as Christ has already forgiven you. So maybe, I want you to think about this, maybe in the midst of your dysfunctional, because brothers and sisters, I know we all want to think that our families and our church, our work environments are completely functional, but we know better. Maybe in the midst of our dysfunctional work gatherings or our dysfunctional family gatherings, there is an opportunity for us to offer forgiveness. Perhaps we can offer grace to the person in Walmart who cuts us off and takes our parking space. Are we able to offer kindness and compassion to those who are most forgotten in our world? The ones that we pass on the street each week? The ones whose names we don't know? Maybe it's offering a warm blanket or coat or a hot meal, or maybe it's just saying hello and asking someone what their name is. There is such power in that. So you see, these are the moments when we get to see the real gift of Christmas, because you see, God didn't come down into a perfect world. God came down into the messiness of our world. He came to a people that were walking in darkness, and he offered them light and love. Not because we deserved it. Not because we deserved it, but because God loved us so much more than we could ever know. Feeding our inner Who begins with remembering the gift that we have already been given. You see, the Grinch missed the point. After he had stole Christmas, he waited. He waited in anticipation. He wanted to hear the weeping and the wailing that he thought would happen in the town below. But it wasn't weeping that he heard.
Poo-poo to the Whos, he was grinchily humming. They're finding out now that no Christmas is coming. They're just waking up. I know just what they'll do.
Their mouths will hang open a minute or two. Then the who's down in Whoville will all cry, boo-hoo. That's a noise, grinned the Grinch, that I simply must hear. He paused, and the Grinch put a hand to his ear. And he did hear a sound rising over the snow. It started in low, then it started to grow. This sound wasn't sad. What? This sound sounded glad. Every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same.
Imagine waking up on Christmas morning, coming downstairs to a house that's been robbed of everything. Even the food, everything is gone. If everything, I want you to really imagine this, if you came down on Christmas morning and everything was stripped bare, there were no toys, no food, no tree, no lights, no ornaments, would Christmas still come? I began this message by asking, where is Christmas? And the truth is, when everything has been taken away in our lives, it is these moments when we become painfully aware of how much we need Christmas, how much we need the hope and the promise and the light of God, Emmanuel, with us. On Friday, December 21st, we're going to gather here for a healing service. It's called the Longest Night Service, and it is on our darkest night of the year. And we started this last year as a way to be there for people who are walking through a time of darkness, whether it's loss in their life, whether we just need a quiet, hushed time. Often we look at Christmas and we say Christmas is all about joy and happiness and laughter, and it's those things, but it's also about God's promise and God's hope and God's peace and God's light. And there are so many in our world that are walking in darkness. Perhaps you, I hope it's okay if I lift this up. There was a member of our church that shared this on Instagram, this Longest Night Service, and she talked about how important it was to her last year, as she was going through a really tough time, and this allowed her space. So we will come together, we will light candles, we will have a time that more meditative, but definitely hopeful, as we remember the real, real message of God's promise, God's reminder that Emmanuel, God, is with us. So I want to invite you to either come or to invite someone else. Can you, somebody grab me we've got the invite cards in the back. They're right in the back. The other thing I want to lift up is Christmas time is this amazing time where people are looking for a place to worship. Yes, perfect. Thank you. And it is usually very uncomfortable for us to invite people to worship. Our assumption is that people aren't looking for a church, but the truth is, often they are. And so I'm going to invite you. There's two sides to this. One is an invite to the Longest Night, and the other is the Christmas Eve service. Invite somebody to come with you on Christmas Eve. Take one of these and hand it to them. It will make, if you're going to come to church, more often people are going to come on Christmas Eve than they're going to come any other time. And this is such a wonderful opportunity to be there for people that are walking through tough times. To offer the promise of connection, not only connection with God, but connection with brothers and sisters that can walk alongside them. So I want to invite each one of you to take one of these and find someone to invite to worship, either at the longest night, and come with them, because that's the hardest part. Come with them as you come to church. Bring them with you. The song that the Who's sang, do you remember the song they sang? I don't know what, I still have yet to figure out what some of those words mean, but I'm not going to worry about that. You see, the Grinch, he lived up on that mountain alone. And part of the struggles of our world today are that people are separated and alone. We keep separating ourselves, and people are feeling more and more isolated, just like the Grinch up on that mountaintop. He lived up on that mountaintop. He isolated himself from the Who's. He had no one to share his life with. The Grinch, he had no community. It was in the singing and the holding of hands and the gathering around a Christmas tree that he suddenly understood what Christmas was all about. The song of the Who's is a reminder to us. I think the words that they have is, Christmas Day is in our grasp as long as we have hands to clasp. As long as we have a hand to clasp, Christmas Eve, we will gather here. And we will retell the story of Christ's birth. We will light candles. We will sing Silent Night. We will celebrate the gift of God's love given to each one of us. But who needs to hear this message? Who in our world is walking and feeling very alone and needs to hear this message? Can you think of somebody? I think each one of us know someone that needs to hear this message again. During this season, we are going to see in ourselves that inner Grinch and hopefully the inner Who as well. We will have moments when we get frustrated with people in malls and parking lots. We will have times where we struggle to be forgiving with family members who don't listen or don't do what we want them to do. We might even have times where it's hard to forgive people in church, believe it or not. Yes. There will be times where we see our inner Grinch. But during this season, my prayer is that you will find opportunities to feed your inner Who. Opportunities to offer forgiveness. Opportunities to show mercy. Opportunities to reach out to those that are most alone in our world. And as we seek these opportunities, perhaps like the Grinch, our hearts might expand as well. So who? What will we feed this year? Will we feed our inner Grinch? Or our inner Who? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you have called us to be peacemakers in the world. You have called us to cry out against injustice in our world. And yet too often we find ourselves separating out, isolating ourselves, stirring up our anger and hatred towards other human beings. And you call us again and again, people who walk in darkness, you have come in light, and you remind us over and over again to feed the good parts of our hearts, to be merciful, forgiving, continually offering your love. We ask all of this in your name, Lord Jesus. Guide us with each new day that we might fully be your people, so that all might come to know the gift that we've been given, so that all might know that they are not alone in this season, that Emmanuel, God with us, has come. Amen. Amen.